Not guilty. These are the words that we just heard this last week. If any of you have been watching the news in the state of Wisconsin, you probably are aware. Over in a little town called Kenosha, some bad stuff happened in this last year, where there's riots, there's gunfighting, and then we have a trial from a young man named Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm sure some of you have heard it by now. But what was alarming is kind of how the whole story developed. You have a young man, a 17-year-old kid, coming up from the state of Illinois, and there's riots going on with Black Lives Matter situation this last year, and he decides he's going to do something about it, protect an area business of a family member. He has his father lives in the area, and he has good intentions and gets caught in a sticky situation. He happens to be carrying a gun with him for protection, and all of a sudden, a crowd mob comes on him for one reason or another, gets into a position where he starts opening fire. Shots are fired. People are injured, and people have died. And so we have this case where now an 18-year-old is tried for multiple counts of murder. And after a jury is selected, and they go through all the evidence, and despite maybe the tense feelings and the maybe racial situations going on, and we have lots of stuff, we hear these words. Not guilty. How do you feel about that? I know if you ask me, if you turn on a lot of different media stations, a lot of news stations, some people just plain can't stand it. Some people are saying, we told you so, and we're somewhere in the middle. Not guilty. Well, for us today, these judgments are important. And I want us to turn to God's word to give us some answers. In your seats in front of you, you have a pew Bible. Let's turn to those. And today, actually, let's open up to our Old Testament lesson that we heard read well today. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 51. If you have your Bible in front of you, Isaiah chapter 51 is where we're going to read. Really easy because there's only four verses that we heard today. And a lot packed into those four verses. Isaiah 51, verses 2 through 6. And for your sake of your time and energy, it's on page 612 of your pew Bible. 612. Isaiah 51, in this context, we have the prophet Isaiah, a man sent to be a preacher to God's people in around the 700s BC, preaching to a people that have lost their way. And preaching hope in the midst of all that, that one day they will be back home, one day they will be judged rightly on their faith and their character. Verse 4, Isaiah 51 verse 4 has some interesting words for us today. Isaiah speaks these words of the Lord. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear, my nation. A law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. Did you catch that? I will set my justice, says the Lord. The problem is we live in a world that we mean and have good intentions. Our justice system can be flawed in America. Some of us maybe have known that better than others. We have good intentions. Sometimes it's spot on. But the issue we have today is our Lord is the only one that can judge rightly. He knows the heart of every single man, woman, and child in this room. He has seen it all. The day of your birth, the day when you were stuck in a sticky situation yourself. A day where maybe you did something that could have brought the law down on you pretty hard. Maybe it had. Today, we thank God for being our King of Kings. And what that means for us is just this, that there can be justice in this world that is full of injustice, hatred, greed, any sort of sin you can think of. Now, if we consider this title for today's message, The Return of the King, I'm not going to talk about the Lord of the Rings saga. I would love to. If you want to talk about those movies, I'll come back to you after that. But today's title remembers and reminds us of just that, a king. How many of you ever had a king before? We don't live under kings. We have presidents, that congresses that take care of us, right? Well, Not too long ago, we lived under a monarch called a king, before it became a country in America. And what a king is supposed to do, and sometimes they have failed to do, is cover more than just what presidents and congresses do. They are the end-all, be-all, the judge, the jury, and the executioner, all in one. They are vowed to take care of every single person in their reign, in their kingdom, in their territory, and they do that the best that they can. We don't have that anymore. In our world, we even have kingdoms that don't even have that. Today, Isaiah tells us of a better day where we will have a right judge because we have a right king. Some of us this past year tried to become our own kings. For a while there, we were stuck at home for about 3 months doing pretty much anything but anything. And a lot of us turned to TV and movies, or maybe Netflix. Some of us even remember for a short time, the only thing that saved the day was a little show called The Tiger King. Some of us have maybe watched it. It's a ridiculous story about murder and mayhem and madness. And it reminded us that we could have anything we wanted at our disposal. Entertainment. We can pretend to be our own kings and queens and sit at home and do what we'd like. And we love that. And that leads us in another situation, back to Isaiah. That was the problem for his people then. Isaiah's and God's. The people of God have abandoned their whole walk of life. In 70 years of bondage and slavery and sent off in exile, they lost their way. They forgot their God. They forgot their faith. They forgot their families. They forgot their friends. They were living as strange people in a strange land. And God needed to do something to bring them home. He sends his prophet. And reminds us of something else. In verse 6, if you're still turning with us, verse 6 of chapter 51, Isaiah says this note of positivity in a dark world. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Lift up your eyes to the sky and look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. We bring that up too because it's holiday season. Make sure you're buying clothes for people maybe as a gift. The earth will wear out like a garment. We all know that clothes wear out. And they who dwell in this earth will die in like manner. Talk about doom and gloom. Sometimes we could end, "This is the word of the Lord." And what do we do with that? This life is not going to last forever. Unless Jesus returns, every single person in this room is going to die. Sometimes when we're young, we don't really know what that would be. We can only envision living forever. The world that we see, the beauty around us, will one day be no more. Wiped clean. And then we can get stuck in that rut. We can be stuck in the doom and gloom that this world brings. But there is an ending to verse 6. Even though the earth and the heavens may vanish and wear out like those old clothes, our Lord, the King of Kings, says, "My salvation will be forever. And my righteousness that I place over you will never be dismayed or discouraged or disregarded." My salvation will last forever. What that means is there cannot be a single thing, whether it's murder itself, that can change the heart that God has placed you in you. There isn't a single sin in your past that has not been covered by the blood of Christ on the cross for you. His salvation lasts forever, and that is the final word. That is the final verdict. So when you bring up those old sins, those old things that happened in this past year, maybe the past couple years, when we start reliving our past, we start getting discouraged about the stuff that we couldn't do and maybe the stuff we still can't do, we start looking back, all we know is we can't live up to the king. We can barely even enter in his house without feeling shame, guilt. But we end the same way we began. Our Lord today, our King of Kings, who has covered over you this past year and continue to shine his salvation the years ahead, even though we know our guilt, he pronounces this verdict: not guilty. Now may this peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.